Congregation, how do you feel today? How did you come to church this morning? Are you down? Are you sad? Are there tears? Is there overwhelming sadness kind of things don't go so well, Pastor? It's possible. Sometimes life is overwhelming. And the consequences of sin can be painful, can be hard, life can be hard. And sometimes the Lord keeps it that way and says, I don't give you that help that you are asking for. But there is something the Lord always wants to give. Sometimes the Lord says, keep the cross. I'm not going to deliver you from the cross. You have to carry that for a long time. But my favor, I give you my favor. I give you yet fullness of joy in a different sense. Look for that. Others say, I'm not sad this morning. I'm okay. I like this life, I'm blessed, I rejoice every morning, go to work, and maybe you're married and you have children, you have everything, you're fine, you don't suffer right now. But you know, you're settling for too little. This is only for a time. And then the soap bubble will pop. All those beautiful colors will disappear. If nothing left, you have to seek something that's more important than this daily life. His loving kindness is more than life to me. Seek that full joy, that fullness of joy in the Lord that you may keep. And others say, I'm fine in my life. I have no special crosses to bury. But I miss the Lord. I miss salvation. I miss the Lord Jesus Christ. I miss that fullness of joy. My tears are my meat day and night. While they continually say, where is thy God? So you have that feeling of I miss something. Listen this morning to how the Lord gives that fullness of joy and salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the text is about fullness of joy, Psalm 16. Especially verse 9, 10, and 11. 9, 10, and 11 of Psalm 16. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, and neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness, see, is fullness of joy. At the right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Fullness of joy for at least three reasons. First, because God is my portion. Our text begins, therefore, refers to the verse before that. Look at verse 5. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance, my cup thou maintainest, my lot, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant place. Yea, I have a goodly heritage because God is my portion. What a fullness of joy when he is your portion. And secondly, because I will see no corruption. See at the end of verse 9, my flesh, O soul, shall rest in hope, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, and neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. And in the third place, because I will be in God's presence. Fullness of joy, because I will be in God's presence. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So fullness of joy for at least three reasons. In the first place, because God is my portion. Secondly, I will see no corruption. And in the third place, I will be in God's presence. See those two men from Emmaus walking and talking. They felt so sad. They missed the Savior Jesus Christ. They're so familiar, so close to him. Heard his sermons, saw his miracles, saw how he raised people from the dead. And they were so puzzled, so confused. What's happening? And then the Lord Jesus, they did not notice him, walked with them and heard them, let them talk and unburden and listen to them. And then the Lord Jesus Christ opened his mouth to them, right? He began to speak to those two men of Emmaus for a long time. I don't know, for hours maybe, I don't know. But he spoke to them for a long time. And Christ opened the scriptures to them, opened the Old Testament, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So the Lord Jesus opened the scriptures and he says, see, it says in Isaiah, I read in the Psalms, I read there. Was this not all predicted and prophesied for? And later on they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And while he opened to us the scriptures, the Lord Jesus opened the scriptures to them. And you may wonder, what scriptures? You may wonder, what place in the Bible? And I am pretty sure that Psalm 16 was one of them. Lord Jesus explaining to those two men of Emmaus in Psalm 16, it says, how do I know that? Because the Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost speaks about Psalm 16. And the Apostle Paul in Acts 13, when he's in Antioch, speaks about Psalm 16. That's so remarkable. That's a key text in the Old Testament pertaining to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me show you. I read in Acts 2. For David speaketh concerning him, and foresaw the Lord always before my face. For he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer the Holy One to see corruption. Men, brethren, let me freely speak unto you the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried. His sepulcher is with us unto this day. There being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, That the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit in the throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, that his flesh did see corruption. And you may want to read for yourself Acts 13, that sermon the Apostle Paul preached in the synagogue of Antioch. Also about Psalm 16. So Psalm 16 is about the resurrection, and that's why we have chosen the text. So shortly after Easter. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life, right? Of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At the right hand are pleasures forevermore. But you know, let's go somewhat deeper in the text. How does it start? Psalm 16 is kind of a prayer. Preserve me, O God, for indeed do I put my trust. There's fear. It's concern. David is worried. What's going to happen? I'm not so sure. Preserve me, O God. But he's not in panic. It's not so that he's overly worried. He is in a way fearful and concerned and yet calm. That's possible. You fear. You say, preserve me, O God. And right after, for indeed do I put my trust. Can be so close. Your concerns and your prayer and your pain and your burdens. Preserve me, O God, I fear. But, O God, indeed do I trust. And look at the word for in verse 1. Preserve me, O God. Why would I, David? Why would I preserve you? Because, Lord, in thee I do put my trust. I trust in thee. Preserve me, O God, for I trust in thee. I take refuge unto thee. Lord, hear me, I trust thee, Lord. Preserve me, I trust thee, Lord. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. And that's kind of the psalm, concerns, and yet faith speaks. What's the matter? Why would he ask, preserve me, O God? He is in danger. Death is approaching. That's clear from the context, right? Thou shalt not leave my soul in hell. In the grave, that means. In death, that means. David is not going to hell, right? We'll talk about it later. Hell means something else here. Means death. He is afraid of death. Concerned about that. And yet also, then again rejoicing. Preserve me, O God, I trust in thee. Thou shalt not leave my soul in hell. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And then the heart of this psalm is about the Lord being his portion. But you know, I have to explain that. Remember the people of Israel conquering the new land, the new promised land, Canaan. And they conquered those enemies. Many were slain and fled. And the land was emptied of the people. And they were going to take possession of the land. But how do you divide a country? How do you say you can live there, you go a little bit more south, and you live more north, and you take that place? There's still a farm that's empty, the piece of land over there is yours. How do you divide that among the people? We don't know how they exactly did that. But we suppose and guess that they did by lot, somehow, by lot. They let the Lord make the decision. And they did it with the Urim or the Tumim or other things. And I see a family, I see a man and his wife and his children cheering. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. I like this piece. See those trees, there's a vineyard, there's a lamb, there is... There's a well, the lines, the border lines are fallen and in pleasant places. And I talk to that family and they say, we have a goodly heritage. We are so blessed, we're happy about that. And I see Svens and they say, our portion is special. A special portion. As well says, but our cup is overflowing. The cup of the Lord has granted us is special. So many people are less happy with that. The lines fallen into pleasant places. Goodly heritage. The cup overflows. All the properties are divided among the people. Except one tribe, the tribe of Levi. They got a few cities, but that's all. And the people had to pay tithes to maintain them. The Levites, no. The Levites did not cheer, a goodly heritage is mine, a pleasant place is given. They did not say that. They didn't get anything. Well, is that right? Did they not receive anything? I read something in Deuteronomy 10, verse 9, about Levites, what they got. Therefore, Levi has no part, nor inheritance with his brethren. The Lord is his inheritance, according as the Lord thy God promised thee. So I see those children, Levites, saying, Dad, what's our portion? And then the father, Levite priest, said, the Lord is our inheritance. He is our portion. The lines are fallen into pleasant places. We may be priests and Levites in God's house. Pleasant places. And David, the author of this Psalm 16, knew that. That those Levites had the inheritance in the Lord and his service. And David says, in a sense, that's also true for me. I'm not a Levite. I'm not a priest. I'm from the tribe of Judah. But metaphorically, in a way, that's also true for me. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance. He thou maintainest my lot, the lines have fallen unto me in pleasant places. It could not be better. A goodly heritage is mine. The Lord has given himself to me. The Lord says, I don't give you something, I give you someone. I don't give you someone, I give myself to you. And David says, Lord, for the fullness of joy, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance. He has given himself. Well, that's unique in the world of religion. A God who gives himself and says, you are the temple. Your body is the temple. And I live in you. I live with my spirit in you. You're a temple of the Holy Ghost. The Lord is my portion. And that's something we read throughout Scripture. The Lord my portion. That goes back to Deuteronomy 10 verse 9. The Lord is his inheritance. Would you like to hear something about it? About people in a holy way excited and filled with gladness. I see it in Psalm 73. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion. He's my portion forever. Or Psalm 119:57, thou art my portion, O Lord. He was cheering and cherishing, Lord, thou art my portion. Psalm 142, verse 5, I cried unto thee, O Lord, and I said, thou art my refuge. Not only that, not only my refuge, and my portion in the land of the living. Well, the pleasant place, where pleasant is used for music. Pleasant music is used for food, pleasant food, something that tastes well, that is sweet to your palate, something good, absolutely good, overwhelmingly good, pleasant places. But do you have congregation? What's your portion? How rich are you? What do you have on your bank account? What do you have on your spiritual bank account? Can you say the Lord is my portion? I don't need anything else. It's fine. I work hard and I make some money. But what's more important to me is this. The Lord is my portion. And he maintaineth my lot. Nobody can steal it. Nobody can take it away. The Lord is my portion. How are you feeling today? Sad. You have a cross to bury, to carry. Something that doesn't go so well. Seek the kingdom of God first. And seek the Lord as the portion of your heart. That gives the fullness of joy. And with many things, the Lord may say, no. That's not good for you. You keep that cross. But in spiritual things like this, salvation, the Lord says, anyone can receive it. He is free to give it, but he is also offering it. And the Lord is saying, seek me. Do not only seek my gifts and my protection, seek me. And live. Fullness of joy. It's one or the other. God is your portion, or he is not. You're so poor, so terribly poor, you have nothing, or you have everything. Think about it. Young friends, children, seek the Lord, that he may be your portion, that you can go through life and you can leave this life with the Lord being yours. So fullness of joy for at least three reasons. First, because God is my portion. Not by nature. We banned the Lord. We left the Lord. We separated. We're not hungry for the Lord anymore. We rebelled against the Lord. But through the Lord Jesus Christ, it is again possible to receive him. You can't pay for that. You can only receive it. Our second thought. Because I will see no corruption. David was concerned. He thought about his death. And he thought about his funeral. He thought about his sepulcher. He thought about, we would say, his casket. And then being left in the grave. And the family going home. And then he decaying. He thought about it. It worried him. He thought, is that what life is about? I have to leave this life. Was a concern. And we see that, right? Genesis 2, verse 17. Of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. We must die. Some of us, no, all of us. You must die. It's appointed unto men once to die. And after that judgment, don't be like an ostrich putting its head in the sand and its danger, kind of ignoring it. I don't want to think about that. I'm not going to think about death. That's the dumbest thing you can do. Think about it. For out of the dust wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. David was realistic. He is going to return to dust. And he knows that's because of sin, right? Adam was our representative, our head. And we read in Romans 5, wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world. Sin entered, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. So the sin of Adam is the death of Adam. Is the death of all people. We must die. And that's a consequence of sin. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus died as well. He gave up the ghost. He let his head down. And it was over. And they took his body. And they buried him, right? In the new sepulcher, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. And the women standing there trying to balm the body. He died. Unreal. He had done no sin, but he was made to be sin for us, for the church, that we may be righteousness of God in him. He died. He was buried. Think of the Lord Jesus behind that stone, buried. But he could not stay there because he had no sin. And we read in this psalm, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, and neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." The Lord Jesus could not be kept there. "Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell." You say, "I don't get it. My soul in hell?" Soul means him, the person. Sometimes soul in the Bible means something different from my body, right? But sometimes it is my identity. It's me. It's myself. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. I do with my whole being. I thirst for God. My soul longeth for the Lord. So soul often in the Bible means me. "For thou wilt not leave me in hell." But David isn't going to hell, right? So that hell in the Bible sometimes means death. And sometimes means hell. And sometimes means eternal fire. Gehenna. Here it means the grave. How do I know that? Well, that's how it is quoted in Acts 2 and in Acts 13. It refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Peter, Apostle Paul say this Psalm 16 was fulfilled. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he did not see corruption. He rose from the dead. He could not be kept there because he had no sin. And so the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He did not see corruption because he does not want his church to see corruption. That's a little bit obscure yet in the Old Testament, but yet also clear. I quote Job 19, verse 26 and 27. "And though after my skin worms destroyed his body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another. But my reins be consumed within me." Our bodies will be buried. But that's fine. That's completely fine. "Dust shall return to dust." That's not the worst thing. If we only have that hope upon the resurrection in the Lord Jesus Christ. If the Lord is our portion, if he is our inheritance, then he maintains our lot. And that the lines fall in pleasant places, all in eternity. "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise," the Lord Jesus said to one of the murderers. But also on the day of the resurrection, "My soul shall not be left in hell. And neither shall thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." David's body was corrupted, was decayed. But not in the end. It will rise through the Lord Jesus Christ. Fullness of joy. Therefore, because of those reasons, therefore my heart is glad. And my glory, as also my soul, rejoices. My flesh, all souls, shall rest in hope. It's hope. hope for the soul, hope for the body. There is future for the body of God's church. So, three reasons to have that fullness of joy. Because God is my portion. Seek it. Because I will see no corruption. That's a blessing. The Lord Jesus died for the soul and also for the body. What is your only comfort? In life and death. That I with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, with body and soul, brings to the third thought, because I will be in God's presence. Congregation, what is the heart of Christianity? What's typical for biblical religion? What's the heart of it? I hear someone say conversion. You need no heart. That's the heart. But what do you need conversion for? Conversion is not a purpose in itself. That's a means. We need it. I agree, we need it. That's very important, crucial. But that's not the heart. Someone says God's honor. Yes, God's honor, that's what it's all about. But what is so to God's honor? What is really to God's honor? You say salvation of sinners, but what's the purpose of saving people? The heart of it is, in thy presence is fullness of joy, a relationship of the sinner with God, a bonding, a presence of God, God being present, Him being with us. And that's what we read here. Thou wilt show me the path of life, in thy presence is fullness of joy. Think of Psalm 23. Then David goes through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, because thou art with me. And that sometimes in church, God's children experience God's nearness and His presence through the Word and the Spirit. And that will be in heaven. Then God's children united with Christ, be with Him and see Him. But it's even more so after the resurrection, that God's children will see God. See God. And they will be satisfied. Matthew 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That's everything. That's the purpose. To see God, to be with Him, to experience His nearness, His love, His faithfulness, to see the beauty of the Lord, to be with Him. 1 Corinthians 13. For now, we see through glass, darkly. But then, face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. That's fullness of joy. Can be better. That's infinite joy. Fullness of it. And what's so remarkable is that the joy is not only the joy of God's people, joy in the Lord. You may say, I can't believe it, but it's in the Bible. The Lord Jesus rejoices in his people. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So why did the Lord Jesus want to suffer and to die? What was the reason? What was the purpose? God the Father showed him something. This, the joy set before him. And the Lord Jesus said, yes, I do anything for that. For that joy set before me. Isaiah 53 says, he shall see, the Lord Jesus shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. So Christ's satisfaction, and not only the joy of God's people and the joy of the Lord Jesus, also the joy of the Father. Entering into the joy of the Lord. For as a young man, marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. The joy of God. Fullness of joy. The Lord Jesus rejoicing. God the Father rejoicing. The angel rejoicing. Our God's people rejoicing. Fullness of joy. Are you dumb and foolish to see the things of this life for a season and then losing everything? You know this text, I've quoted that a while ago. The Lord is not only rejoicing, the Lord sings. Zephaniah 3, verse 17. The Lord thy God is in the midst of thee, he is mighty, he will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. A God singing over his people. And his people experiencing the fullness of joy. You say, it's all good to hear. But is that also for me? Well, it's preached to all of you. God is holding it out. It's set before you. Like the Lord Jesus, it was set before him. And he endured the cross. He was willing to suffer for the joy set before him. So we set it before you this morning. And you pray, preserve me, O God. I must die. I've sinned against thee. Preserve you, God. I'm lost. But I hope that you may continue, for in thee do I put my trust. That being humble to the dust and that believing, that taking refuge unto the Lord Jesus Christ. You need that faith in him. O my soul, thou said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee. I am nothing, but the Lord is everything. I have sinned against all God's commandments, but the Lord Jesus Christ did not see corruption, yet no sin. O to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Do you have delight in God's people? Do you love them? Are they your people, your close ones, your friends? All their sorrows shall be multiplied, that hasten after another God, that drink offerings of blood that I not offer, nor take up their names to my lips. That choice, I'm not going to serve this world. I'm not going to serve sin and pleasures here below. I seek other pleasures at thy right hand. There are pleasures forevermore. Some people like to give, right? To give presents. You like that. In eternity, the Lord keeps giving pleasures out of his right hand. Here, 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 here. An eternity long. At the right hand, there are pleasures forevermore of God's communion. Oh, the Lord is my portion, my inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot. I cannot hold it myself. I don't trust myself. It's not me holding on to the Lord. It's the Lord holding on to me. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant place. I did not grab it. I did not earn it. I did not take it. I received it. The Lord is my portion. The lines are fallen in God's providence and goodness and mercy. I don't understand it. In such pleasant places. Oh, I hear thanksgiving. I will bless the Lord. Verse 7. Who has given me counsel. I was so dumb. But he has given me counsel. He taught me through his word and spirit and drew me. He gives me counsel. I enjoy that. The opening of the word. He gives me counsel. I bless the Lord. My reins also instruct me in the night season, at night. I sometimes meditate and my reins speak, my feelings surface. I have said the Lord always before me. Time and again. I said the Lord before me. I enter to his presence. I pray. See, this is God's church confessing. There's life in their soul. Because he is in my right hand, I shall not be moved. Whatever happens in this life, whatever disease, a consequence of sin and brokenness and dysfunctionality, and you name it, I shall not be moved. If he's in my right hand, he maintains my lot. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory joys, my flesh also my flesh, not only the soul, my flesh at rest in the grave, in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer the unholy one, the Lord Jesus, also me, to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. That's life. I show you the path of life. By nature, walk on the path of death. I show you the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. It does not stop. Amen. O Lord, open thy word. You try to bring it to the ear. But now we depend upon the Spirit to bring it to the heart, so that many may leave the church this morning so poor. I miss that portion. I miss that heritage. I miss those pleasures. I don't have that fullness of joy. And may they begin to seek. May that quest for salvation and the presence of the Lord begin. Lord, graciously also forgive the shortcomings and be with us the further this day. Open the word again. We ask in the forgiveness of our sins, acknowledging thee for thy beautiful word. Amen.